Morning. I have a little cheat sheet. It's not for the words to the song. It's for the verse I want to share with you. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now, Paul was from a wealthy, prestigious family. He had the best education that was available at that time in his day. He had it. If he had reason to brag, it would have been in those things. But he had come to know Jesus, and he knew that those things were really, for eternity's sake, worth nothing. And it isn't really until we ourselves, in humility, come to the Lord and own those words that Paul wrote, that we can really be saved and we really have a place in eternity with the Lord Jesus.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Paid it all. Aren't you glad this morning Jesus paid it all? Amen. Thank you, Carla. Let's everybody please stand and turn to 368. 368, The Longer I Serve Him. We'll sing both verses, and the kids will be dismissed to children's church while we sing. 368.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
You may be seated.
Let's take our Bibles as we get into the Word this morning and go to the book of Titus, if you would, please. The book of Titus. Once again, it's good to see everybody this morning. I'm glad you're able to be here. This morning, I want to talk about being used of God, being used of God. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning that encourages us to get involved for the Lord and to serve Him and to be used of Him and to be active doing things that honor the Lord and are useful in the Lord's work. And I'm not bringing this message because I don't think that we have a shortage of people being involved in serving the Lord, but I want to encourage all of us to be thinking about the fact that God has saved us to use us, and we can all be used of the Lord, and I want to make that clear, hopefully, by the time we're done with the message this morning. But in Titus chapter 2, I want to begin by reading verse 14 in chapter 2 and then verse 8 in chapter 3. Chapter 2 of Titus, verse 14, please. The Bible says this, says, "Who gave Himself for us," speaking of Christ, "that He might redeem us from all iniquity," amen, "and purify unto Himself a peculiar people," a peculiar people. How many of you feel peculiar this morning? Well, you look a little peculiar. No, I'm sorry. The word "peculiar" is a peculiar word. It doesn't mean peculiar in the sense weird, strange. It doesn't mean that necessarily. It carries with it the idea of a purchased people, a boughten people that are distinct, a distinct purchased people for God, an outstanding people. And the idea is this: we are a peculiar people because we have been bought by the Lord. We are purchased by His blood. We are redeemed. We belong to Him. But we are distinct. We are outstanding. When the world looks upon us, they should see us in a distinct manner. We may look strange to them. We may look peculiar to them, but not in the sense of necessarily being weird, but because of what God has done for us and in us. Because God has saved us, redeemed us to Himself, and we are kind of outstanding. We are kind of peculiar or distinct in a certain way. And if you look at the rest of the verse, this is the distinction that when people look at us, they ought to see this in us because we have been saved, because we have been purchased by the Lord. We belong to Him, and He is in us. And the Bible says that as a peculiar people, we should be distinct or outstanding because of the fact that we are zealous of what? We are zealous of good works. When people look at our lives, they ought to be able to see a distinction. There's something different about this bunch of people who claim Christ as their Savior. There's something different about these people who claim to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord. And they're going to look at us, and we're going to kind of stand out to them because of the fact that our lives are different. And one of the distinctive things about our lives is they're going to see that we are a people who are zealous. We are zealous for good works, doing good things, being involved, being usable, serving the Lord in many different ways, doing something for God. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you doing something for the Lord? Are you doing something for the Lord? Well, I know that many, many of you are, but I want to encourage everybody to give that consideration. Notice what it says in chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. A faithful saying, a true saying. You can depend upon this. This is the truth. And these things that I will that thou affirm constantly. And that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm taking Paul's counsel to Titus, and I'm affirming these truths, these things. I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God, are you a believer? All right. Then I am affirming to you that those who believe in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so the Bible tells us that as a redeemed people, God has saved us that we might be used of Him, that we might be doers of good deeds, that we might be doers of good works, that we might be usable for God, that we might be doing something for the Lord, doing something for the Lord. And so we have this great privilege of serving the Lord. Have you thought of serving the Lord as a privilege? Well, I know that I have. Over all of the years that I've been in the ministry, I've always thought of it as a tremendous privilege to be able to serve the Lord in this capacity. But I also realize that along with this great privilege comes a responsibility. I have a responsibility and I have an accountability. But God has saved us to use us. So what we want to see right away is that there is a human side. There is a human side to the work of God. God uses people. God uses people. Take your Bible back to the Old Testament with me, and let's look at the book of Nehemiah. I like the book of Nehemiah because it is a great example of God using people to do great things. In the book of Nehemiah, I want us to begin with chapter 4 and look at verses 19 through 21. God uses people. Now, we all know that God is all powerful and God can do great things. And can you think of things in the scriptures that God has done apart from human agency? We can all think of miraculous, powerful things that God has done just through His miraculous power. How about opening the Red Sea? How many of you could do that? Well, only God could do that. You know, we might be able to do it today by means of mechanical assist and that sort of a thing, but we couldn't do it the way God did it. How many could bring down the walls of Jericho the way God did? So we read in the Bible about some things that God just did by His mighty power. But the truth of the matter is, folks, as we read through the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, we find that God, more often than not, uses people to accomplish His work. God uses people. You know, today we are in an age today where people are complaining about losing their jobs to mechanical machines. We've discovered all kinds of machines that can do the work of people, that can take the place of people, and a lot of people have lost their jobs because machines of one sort or another have taken their place. But you know what? God always uses people. People are important to God. And God saves us. He redeems us not only to keep us out of hell, but God saves us and redeems us so that we might do the work of God on earth. God saves us so that He can use us to accomplish His purposes. Now, that's a great privilege. That's a great privilege. But it does have responsibility. Now, in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, let's go back and look at Nehemiah's day. I want to begin with verse 19, please. Verse 19. This is Nehemiah speaking, and he says, I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, for God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. And so Nehemiah engages the people. You remember the story of Nehemiah, how that Nehemiah was given a burden by God about the terrible condition of the city of Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem had collapsed. Now the temple had been rebuilt already. The temple had been rebuilt in the days of Haggai, but the city still lie in ruins, and God put a tremendous burden upon the heart of Nehemiah about rebuilding the walls and repairing the breaches and all of the things that needed to be done in the city of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah got a mandate from the king to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls and to reestablish the city. And when he got there, the Bible says the first thing he did was went out by himself and surveyed the whole situation, and he came up with a plan. The second thing that Nehemiah had to do was that he had to engage people. He had to engage people to get the work done. Now, there's no doubt that God could have supernaturally, by His mighty power, rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. But God did not choose to do it that way. God chose to use a man. He raised up a leader. And this leader engaged the help that he needed to get the job done. And so Nehemiah stirs up the people and he gets them engaged in doing the work of God. Now look at chapter 6 and verse 15, if you would. Notice what happens. Now folks, let me tell you something. This was a big job. This was rebuilding the huge wall all the way around the city. Most cities were enclosed by walls for protection back in those days. And this was a big job. The wall was dilapidated, and Nehemiah leads the people in rebuilding this wall. Now notice what it says in verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. In 52 days, those people rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. What was the key to that? Well, go back to chapter 4 and look at verse 6. This was the key. 4:6. It says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Now notice this carefully. For the people had what? Had a mind to work. Had a mind to work. And so, dear people, listen, God uses people. God uses people. When people have a mind to get together for God and do something for God and work hard for God, there's no telling what can be accomplished, what kind of a great thing can be accomplished for the Lord. But it takes people. It takes people. Nehemiah couldn't have done it by himself. Nehemiah could not have done that by himself, of course. Nehemiah had to have help. Nehemiah had to have a lot of help. And God got a hold of Nehemiah's heart and stirred up Nehemiah. And God went out. Nehemiah went out before the people, and he stirred up the people. He got the people involved. Nehemiah had a plan. He knew how to strategically use the people, and the work got done in a miraculous amount of time because the people had a mind to work. God uses people. God uses people. What can God use you to do? What can God use you to do? What can God use us to do if we have a mind to work for the Lord, if we have a heart to work for God? What can God accomplish? What can God do? Well, sometimes we just have to give ourselves to God and wait and see what He can do with us. Look at Acts chapter 15. Let's go back into the New Testament. Acts chapter 15. There's some interesting little portions here that have got my attention as I've read through these scriptures, and that have always kind of touched me and spoken to me. God can use people in a group. God can use individuals. God can use individuals. And I know that there are some folks that are sitting here this morning, and you have great doubts whether or not God can use you. You just really can't imagine what God might do with you. It's fine for somebody else. It's fine for the pastor. It's fine for the deacons. It's fine for somebody else. Fine for the Sunday school workers and what have you. But I know that there are some folks sitting here today thinking, you know what, I really don't know if God can do much with me. I don't really know if God can use me. And what I want you to see in the next few minutes is that God can use you. God can use you. There is nobody really that is unusable for God. Now let's look here. I want to show you something. Look at chapter 15 of Acts and verse 7. This is Peter. And when there had been much disputing, this is a church council they had in Jerusalem, and they're talking about theological things. And the Bible says, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, now notice this carefully, that the Gentiles, now notice this, this is the phrase I want you to see. Peter says that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Peter said that it was by my mouth. It was by my mouth that the Gentiles heard the gospel and believed. The Gentiles heard the gospel for the first time and came to Christ. God opened the door to the Gentiles by my mouth, says Peter. Now stop and think about that. Stop and think about that. What is Peter saying? Peter's saying, men and brethren, I want you to remember something. God used me. God used me. Can you think of some circumstance in your life when God used you? Now, it may not have been to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but it may have been to take the gospel to some individual. It may have been something else. But God used you. Dear people, God uses individuals. God uses people, you see. You say, well, I'm not Peter. No, you're not Peter, but if you're redeemed, you're a child of God. You have the same God Peter had. You have the same Holy Spirit Peter had. You have the same Word of God Peter had. We have the same involvement with church and other people that anybody has. There is something for everybody if we are alert and awake and looking for it. God used Peter. He says, by my mouth. Take your Bible with me and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's look at verse 17. This time we're going to turn our attention upon the Apostle Paul for a minute. I love this verse for a number of reasons. It's an encouraging verse. It's an instructive verse. The Apostle Paul is at the end of his life. And, of course, he has had a long ministry, many difficulties, many blessings, But now he's in prison and he's coming to the end of his life. And he says this in verse 17 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy. He says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Now notice this carefully. "That by me." I like that. I've got that underlined in my Bible. "That by me the preaching might be fully known." That by me, says Paul. I like that. I can apply that to myself. Can you apply that to yourself? God did something by me. God used me. You see? Can you look into your life and into your heart and say, you know, I want God to do something through me. I want God to use me. I want to be able to say, Lord, by me, do something. Lord, by me, accomplish something. By me. By me. It's easy to say, Lord, let the pastor, let the assistant pastor, Lord, let the deacons, Lord, let the Sunday school teachers, Lord, let the children's church workers, Lord, let the van people, Lord, let somebody else do it. But Lord, I'm not involved. Don't count on me, Lord. I'm just not there. Lord, by me. By me. By me. You know, if you stop and think about it, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. God, use me. What is there that God could use you to do? What is there that God could use you to do? Who is it that God could use you to help in some way? Who is it that God might use you to take the gospel to them? What is there that God might use you to accomplish? What is there that God might use you? In fact, here's the case, folks. What is there that maybe only you could do for God? Nobody else could really do it. Maybe there's somebody that you could go to and help in some way that nobody else could really do it. Maybe nobody else even knows about the need. But you could do it. And you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe some great, tremendous blessing will come out of it. Maybe something that you never expected would come out of it. And you could step back and say, praise God, by me. By me, that was accomplished. Now, that's not pride. That's just rejoicing. That's just being glad. Paul wasn't being proud when he said that by me, God made the preaching fully noted. Notice, when Peter said, by my mouth the Gentiles heard, Peter wasn't bragging, he wasn't boasting, he wasn't proud about that. He was just excited and thrilled and rejoicing about that. God used me. God used me. And dear people, what can God use you for? What can God do through you to help somebody or do something, accomplish something? What can God do? Well, I'll tell you something. God uses people. God uses people. And so don't count yourself out. You know, there's always something to do. There's always something to do. The Bible tells us in Galatians, I don't have to turn there, our time is getting short, but the Bible tells us in Galatians that you and I, we ought to be careful to use the opportunities that God gives us. That God gives us opportunities. God gives us times. God gives us open doors. God brings things our way. But so often we for some reason we excuse ourselves from taking those opportunities. But we're to take the opportunities that God gives to us. And when you look through the scripture, you know what? If you're willing, if your heart's willing, if you're looking for opportunities, if you're open to opportunities, God is going to can use you to do great things. One of my favorite examples of that is back in Luke chapter 5. Let me show it to you. Luke chapter 5. And I've preached on this passage a number of times over the years. But to me, this is just such a great picture of people being awake and alert to opportunity and taking the opportunity and doing something extraordinary for God just because they were willing to step out and take the opportunity. You remember in Luke chapter 5, there was a man who was crippled, who had the palsy. And in verse 18, it says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man, which was taken with a palsy." Jesus was in a house, and he was meeting people there and preaching the gospel and healing people and all the rest of it. And so these men had a friend, and this friend was crippled. This friend had what the Bible calls a palsy. He was crippled. And these men evidently cared for this man. I don't know if he was a relative or just a friend or what, but these men cared for him. And they had a desire to help them if they possibly could. Well, they weren't physicians, they weren't doctors. There wasn't very much that they could do other than just show sympathy and empathy for the man who had this palsy. But they heard that Jesus was in the vicinity and that he was there, and people were getting healed. And so they seized the opportunity. They saw something that they could do. You see, that's 50% of the battle is seizing opportunities, looking for open doors, looking for opportunities to be able to be used of God, to do something. And so these men got the idea, hey, we don't have any healing powers. We don't have any medical powers. We can't do anything to solve this man's problem. But one thing we can do is we can take him to Jesus. We can take him to Jesus. And so these men carried this man on a pallet. Bible calls it a bed, on a pallet to Jesus. But when they got there, they found that the place was so crowded they couldn't get in. They couldn't get in. And so what they could have done, they could have said, well, you know what? Boy, we tried. We did the best we could. We got him here, but we just can't get in. We might as well carry him back home. But their vision was greater than that. Their concern for this fellow was greater than that. And so they put their heads together and they said, now what can we do? Well, notice what it says in verse 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop. They said, let's take him, we'll carry him up on the housetop. Now this was an Oriental house with a flat roof. And the courtyard, and on the side of the house in the courtyard was a stairway going up to the roof of the house. And so they said, let's carry him up on the roof. And so I can just see these people carrying him carefully up that stairway, up onto the roof. And then when they got to the roof, notice what they did. They let him down through the tiling. They dug up the roof. They dug up the roof. They were determined that they were going to do everything that they could to try and help this fellow. And so the owner of the house probably wasn't too excited about it, but they dug up his roof. And then they let him down through the roof to where Jesus was. And guess what happened? Something extraordinary happened. You know what it was, don't you? Jesus healed the man. Jesus forgave the man of his sins and healed him. Sent him on his way rejoicing. Can you imagine? Now, it all began just because three or four men got an idea that, hey, maybe there's something we can do for this fellow. Maybe there's something we can do. They didn't have any idea about accolades for themselves or praise for themselves or any of that sort of a thing. All they saw was, here's an opportunity that maybe we can do something good for this fellow. And they seized that opportunity. How many opportunities just go by us because we never seize them? We can see them. Hold on now. We can see them. We recognize them, but we don't seize them. We don't take them. We let them pass by. And nothing's done. What would happen if, dear people, we started seizing more opportunities, huh? When you see somebody in need, when you see something that, hey, you know what, something needs to be done here. Maybe I could help here. Maybe I could do this. Maybe the other thing. I don't know what it is, but I do know there's a multitude of things that come into our lives. They do my life anyway. And if we start seizing some of those and acting on them and following through, what could be done? Maybe something extraordinary, maybe something supernatural, maybe something that you wouldn't even dream about would come of that if you just start seizing some opportunities and start believing that God uses people. God uses people to get his work done. I'll tell you, And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. I said this before, and I want to remind you of it. Hey, don't wait for a church program before you start serving God. I don't know that we could have enough church programs in this church to get everybody doing something. Maybe we can. I know there's a lot of church programs, and I know there's a lot of people involved. But not everybody's involved in a church program. And I don't want you to say, well, you know what? I don't know what. I can't teach Sunday school, so I guess I can't do anything. I'm not a children's church teacher. I'm not involved in Master Club. I'm not involved in this or the other thing, so I guess there's not much that I can do. But hold on now. You don't have to be involved in a church program to serve God. You know that? You don't. Don't wait for a church program to serve God. You know, do you have a vision for something? Do you have a burden for something? Do you care about something? You know, I remember when, is Mark in here? I remember when Mark started coming to the church, Mark Finkbeiner, and he sat down, there he is, he sat down with me, and I didn't know anything much about Mark, but he expressed to me in a conversation what a concern and burden he had for the creation ministry. We didn't have a church program. We didn't have a church program. And I said was, Mark, that sounds great to me. Why? Go for it. Go for it. I'll support you. And now he's got Creation Club, and now he's got his adventure tours, and now he's got his Science Academy and everything else. Why? He had a burden, a concern. You know, there are a lot of people that way in the church. Really. Gordon and Young Me over here teaching the multicultural Bible study. Hey, that's not a church program. All we do is give them a place to do it. And they have the multicultural Bible study going on every month. You see? John and Meiji, I don't see them this morning, but John and Meiji, they go into the assisted living homes and the nursing homes on a regular basis. That's not a church program. That's just them having a vision, serving God. And on it goes, you see. You don't have to wait for a church program to serve God. Somebody says, well, I wish we had a ministry passing out tracts. Pick a street corner. Go down, go to the mall. Go. I mean, there's places where there's tons of people all the time. Just go someplace and take a handful of tracts and get going with it. If you have a burden to pass out tracts, go pass out some tracts. You don't have to wait for a church program. You don't have to wait for the pastor's approval. Just make sure your tracts you pass out are good ones. There's tons of stuff to do for God. There's tons of stuff we can be doing for God, folks. And we don't have to wait for a church program to do them. Now, one more thing, very quickly. Take your Bible to Exodus with me, chapter 4. And this is probably as important as anything I'm going to say this morning. In Exodus chapter 4, we see Moses and his call by God to go down into Egypt. Now, I mentioned this earlier, and I just want to emphasize it as we bring our lesson to a close this morning. A lot of people do not feel usable for one reason or another. Some people don't feel qualified. They don't feel like they know enough. They don't feel like they can converse. They don't feel this or that or the other thing. Sometimes we feel like we're, you know, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too much in the middle. it's easy. Listen, here's the thing. If you really don't want to do much, it's really easy to find a reason not to do it. We got to be careful about that. You know, look at Moses in chapter 3. Verse 10, God is calling Moses to go down into Egypt, and he says this, he says, come now therefore, says the Lord, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so he said, Moses, I'm going to send you down to Egypt. Bring my people out. Notice how Moses responds in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, Lord? I mean, I'm a nobody. Lord, I'm not qualified. And basically what Moses is saying to God is, Lord, you sure you couldn't find somebody else to do this? I don't think I'm the right guy. And immediately Moses begins to disqualify and dismiss himself. And you know, folks, so often we do that. We just feel, you know, I'm just not the person to do much of anything. I'm just not the person to do much of anything. And so verse 12, God says, I'll go with you. Then chapter 4 and verse 1, notice how Moses continues his resistance. 4:1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Lord, if I go down there to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. He's not going to listen to me. Who am I to stand before Pharaoh? He's not going to listen to me. And besides that, when I tell him that I've been sent by God, he's just going to call me a liar. He's going to say, God hasn't appeared to you. And so Moses continues dismissing himself and disqualifying himself. And then finally, verse 10 of chapter 4, and Moses said unto the Lord, Moses is persistent. I've noticed sometimes it's easy to be persistent about things we don't want to do. It's true in my life. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good speaker. That's what I first said to the Lord when he called me to be a preacher. After my first preaching experience, I told you about it. I went home and said, Lord, if I can't preach any better than this, I'm never going to preach again. I'm disqualifying myself. And Moses is disqualifying himself, dismissing himself. He's saying, Lord, excuse after excuse, Lord, I'm not qualified. Lord, Pharaoh won't listen to me. Lord, Pharaoh will think I'm a liar. Lord, I'm not a good speaker. Lord, I stumble, I stammer, I stutter. I can't, Lord, I just can't do it. Please send somebody else, God. And so God said, okay, Moses, I give up on you. No, look at verse 14. verse 14, you have it? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God was not pleased with Moses. You see, dear people, God has saved us to use us. And I want to leave you with this morning. I don't care who you are, if you claim to be a blood-bought, redeemed child of God, God has called you to use you in some way, in some fashion, at some time. God can use you. God does His work through people. God does His work through people. It may be somebody. Listen, I'll give you a number. 105. 105, Richland Rehab. Myra Wood's been there for about 3 weeks now. Anybody want to go see her? 105, Richland Rehab. There's something to do. Someone do it. Don't all go at the same time. But there's something to do. I could give you some more numbers too, but I won't. You see, folks, there's always something to do. always something to do. There's always somebody. Can you send a card to somebody? Can you make a phone call to somebody? There's always something to do. Let's not do the Moses thing, okay? Let's not do the Moses thing. If God lays something upon your heart, if there's an opportunity, hey, why don't you just start seizing them instead of excusing yourself and saying, somebody else can do that. I'm going to tell you something. There is an awful lot of ability in this room this morning. There is an awful lot of ability. There is an awful lot of wonderful, extraordinary things that can be accomplished in one way or another with this small group that is in this room this morning. If we will seize the opportunities, and if we will believe that God has saved us to use us. Lord, let it be by me. Lord, let it be by me. Will you take that home with you? All right. God bless you. God bless you. Let's sing number 455. 455. Let's all stand together. Let's sing the second and third stanzas. Second and third. Take my hands, take my voice. Just use me as you will, God. Second and third stanzas this morning, 455. If I can be of any help to you, here I am. I'll be glad to help. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing at the impulse of my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee, filled with messages for thee. Amen, 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 amen. All right, okay. It looks like we got lots of stuff out there on the vegetable tray, tables from the garden this morning. So if you didn't see it coming in, well, hopefully you'll see it when you go out, okay? All right, God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. And let's ask the Lord to use us this week. God, use me this week. Use me this week. I can do something somewhere, somehow, some way. I can do something for the Lord this week. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Lord, we are glad that we are redeemed, forgiven, on our way to heaven. But Lord, I pray on the way there, help us, Father, to be used. Help us to be able to do something, Father, to help somebody, to minister, to share the gospel, to do something, Father, useful for the kingdom. That the world, Father, might look at us and say, hey, there is a different people, a distinct people, a peculiar people, zealous for good works for the Lord. So, Father, just use us, and we would be thankful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.